me share my screen and then I'll open it up. I'm trying to have us, you know, talk about things while they're already up on the page to save Drew some time, like probably a lot of time, honestly. Pull up Woj, I guess.
Were you up when this happened?
No. God damn. No, that's funny. Were you?
No, not at all. But when I got up, I had like my group chat with my friends. I had a bunch of message and I saw, I hadn't shown my face to the lock screen, but I saw that it had like 7 Twitter notifications and I was like, oh wow, that might be it. The last time that happened, I looked at my phone after a while and I had like the same thing, but it was the Dame trade and I was so disappointed.
All right, let's start. All right, we're here. It happened. We've been wanting this for as bad as we've wanted. I think we wanted this as bad as we wanted anything since we got Harden, which meant Ben leaving. And it happened. I think that we actually shockingly have a lot of positive Sixers things to talk about, but we have to start here. Steve, it happened.
It happened. I am thrilled with basically every single part of it. I'm thrilled that we never had to watch him on the team. Like, even for this, like, 8-game thing, like, I would have hated that. I'm mainly just happy for James that he gets to go where he wanted to go. I am really excited for him. I know that he's been, you know, away and ramping up and ramping and ramping and ramping, but I think that now the ramp will get shorter. So how do you want to do this? First of all, can you compare the feeling of this trade to the Ben for Harden trade, like, for you? Because to me, they are different.
This is nowhere near as exciting. I mean, with the Ben for Harden trade was so much better in every way. I mean, for one, you know, it was getting off of Ben, which as frustrating as Harden was, it's just not comparable, right? Like, Ben was years and years in the making. I felt gaslit by all of his, you know, ridiculous supporters who told me that there wasn't a problem for all this time, only to watch it, you know, completely unravel in such a frustrating way. You know, I mean, we were at that game 5 together and it was hell. And I think, you know, I would have loved to be wrong on Ben, but it was just such a relief to get that discourse out of the fan base, and then also to be getting Harden, right? We're not getting a Harden of that time here. I mean, Harden was still looking really, really good. I know he was struggling with Brooklyn and he looked tired at times, but there was a lot of hope with acquiring Harden, whereas here you're getting the assets and hoping you can get someone who probably still won't be as good as what, you know, we were hoping out of Harden. I think that it's not the kind of trade that elevates you to championship expectations like the trade to get Harden was.
Yeah, and the Ben thing was longer in terms of the war through the media, in terms of, like, obviously we had been praying for him to improve or try at any of these things for the years that he was here. And then the Hawks trade happened, and it was like, I wanted him gone, and then he wanted to be gone. But he still had fans on the team that wanted to force him to stay here, and men fan, like, it was very bizarre to me, that whole argument. You know, it was like, he didn't even want to be here. Like, like, if you're such a big Ben guy, don't you want him to get what he wants? And then you get Harden, and it was like, oh, immediately we have, like, the new star. This is different. I personally wanted him to no longer be a Sixer after the Celtics series, which is not to say that he didn't have good moments in that series, but I just, like, I felt like there's no way for this to end.
Actually, his best moments as a Sixer in that series, and then also his worst.
Right. So it was like, I just felt like, what's the point? Like, I felt like we know how this ends with Harden. Like, I can't fool myself anymore into thinking that he's going to be somebody he hasn't been his entire career. So I was relieved when he opted in and wanted a trade, and all of the bullshit in between has been mainly amusing. But I think that let's talk about value. Like, what do you think about the value here? I think that this is probably as good as you're going to do on a OKC was somewhat involved, but mainly it's a one-for-one, like, two-team trade. You were never getting a star straight up for Harden. There was exactly one team in the NBA that was interested in him. People were like, he needs to expand his list. It's like, I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is that nobody wants him. I don't think that Daryl would have cared if the Bulls wanted him and we were having a real conversation. Like, you know, nobody
wanted.
Wasn't about
where Harden wanted to go. I think the Clippers probably even view him as a rental in some way.
Yeah,
not to say they won't re-sign him, but all of their guys are about to become free agents.
Right. Like, I was hopeful and optimistic that the Clippers would eventually come to the table in a real way because they just have a lot of pressure on them. And they have disappointing end after disappointing end. Now, personally, I don't think this is going to solve that. But it felt like they were in on all these other guys they couldn't get. And, you know, so I love getting Covington back. I have loved that guy forever. My fiance has his jersey. I just love the guy. I am really excited to watch him again. You know, I haven't been watching the Clippers this year, but Zach Lowe said that he's been playing well and starting for them as Terrence Mann is out. Nick Batum is like a actually good, solid player. I would bet that he starts. I don't know. We can talk about that. KJ Martin, fun dunks. Marcus Morris, certainly not good. I think he's done. But yeah, what do you think of the return and sort of all the rest of it?
Yeah, I think it's a really good return, especially considering how, you know, little the appetite was for Harden around the league. You know, I agree generally with your thoughts on these guys. I am not positive in, you know, what Covington will have left over the course of an 82-game season, but I'm just happy to have him back. Morris becomes salary that is tradable, that is expiring, that you can, you know, right now you can't aggregate, but you will be able to on the new year. And either way, we'll be able to, you know, pair with picks, which I think will be his main value here. I like Batum. I've always liked Batum. I think, you know, he probably can't play starters minutes, which isn't to say he won't start. I could really see him and Oubre splitting the three spot. I wouldn't be shocked, just based on how, you know, Tucker was basically a four anyway, and Tobias has kind of been in that clunky, like, four with another four spot, that if Covington just starts, since Covington was already starting, and they just kind of have these two, you know, really true fours out there. I think, you know, either way, it's going to come down to how you, you know, divide the minutes and how many minutes a lot of these older guys we got back can really play. But, you know, I think that Batum is absolutely an upgrade over Tucker. And, you know, we got two first round picks, one of which is definitely going to have some real value, which is that Clippers pick. Maybe it doesn't end up being a great pick, but I think at this time is considered to have value. And I think KJ Martin's an exciting get. I mean, he's, you know, he's young, he's athletic, and he's shown some ability. And so I'm definitely satisfied, you know, with the return. Not just, I think, given the circumstance, I'm thrilled with the return, you know, the circumstance being that nobody really wants Harden. But I'm actually, even just as value, I'm fine with it, even in a vacuum. And I think we do need to mention here that the reporting is that Josh Harris sealed the deal here, which of course involved him getting some cash from the Clippers. I'm glad he did. I wouldn't have wanted to see this drag on much longer. I think there's value towards, you know, being able to aggregate these salaries earlier, you know, like by January 1st, based on when the trade was made. And also, you know, having the new guys have time to assimilate to this roster, especially the ones who are going to be here, you know, and, you know, maybe not Marcus Morris, who might be just used as salary and not play much, but, you know, I think Batum and Covington and KJ Martin will all find a role and give us more bench depth. And the sooner you get them in and have them, you know, work with Nurse, work with Embiid and Maxey, I think the better. And so I'm excited it happened, and I'm looking forward to seeing these guys in Sixers uniforms.
Yeah, you know, obviously the biggest part is the picks. They get two picks and then they get a swap. And these picks also, because of the Stepien rule, it frees up the Sixers pick in, I think it's 2030, one of those. So now they have an actual credible offer with draft capital for the next guy who becomes available, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But I feel like the only reason that we have been talking about Batum, Covington, and Martin is because the Sixers actually look good, and they look like they're playing a good brand of basketball, and they're fun to watch. And if they had started 0-3 or 1-2 with uninspiring games and only beat, you know, Portland or whatever, like, it would be harder to even care so much about the expiring guys. But it feels like this is a team, even if we don't think that this version of a team can win a title, it seems like a very easy team to root for and think that they're better than, you know, six of the playoff teams in the East. Like, you know, I certainly think that the three seed is there for them. Obviously, Milwaukee doesn't look good yet, but I would imagine they figure it out. And that's fun to root for. Like, it's a different kind of thing. And honestly, part of that is better because you're not so anxious about can they win the title? Can they win the title? But Embiid looks great already, which usually it takes him a good month to start looking good. Maxey, I mean, can't say enough about Maxey. Maxey is just like...
He's shooting 90% on catch and shoot threes so far this year.
Classic. He's great. And somebody was talking about it, but Maxey's personality is so different than Harden, where Harden is kind of a bummer and seems like he'll get down on himself or get completely taken out of the game from an emotional standpoint, and feels like Maxey never will, even when he has a bad game. And I think next to Embiid, because Embiid is more that way, right? I think Embiid is more that way too, like Harden, where if calls don't go his way or he's turning the ball over, like, you can see him get taken out. And I think that it's hard to have your two main guys be like that. So it's exciting to root for this team. The Covington angle is so much fun. I really love that. Even if he's just a souped up George Niang who comes off the bench, shoots threes, and can actually, you know, get stocked and stuff like that. But it's very cool. This is a very deep team. We used to basically have no depth on the Sixers, and now it feels like all of a sudden they have too many guys, where it's like Springer, who we liked seeing, probably is going to have a hard time getting in the court. Dan House, I don't think so. Like, you know, it's good stuff. It's very exciting, and I'm happy it worked out this way.
Yeah, you said we didn't used to be deep. Doc Rivers used to go 11 deep in the playoffs, so I'm not entirely sure what you're talking about. But...
what was Doc's quote about DeAndre Jordan? I think that he started DeAndre when Joel was out in the playoffs, and he was getting backlash for that, and he said, "I'm going to start DeAndre whether you like it or not." Why are you saying
that? I do miss him. He is so funny. Let me pull up some. Let's pause our conversation real quick. Just, I'm gonna pull up some.
Do we have an ad break? Blue Chew? What do we got? BetterHelp?
Oh shoot! Let me pull up some. Hang on, give me a sec. I want to pull up some just random Sixers highlights. And we can run those while we talk about how great they've looked lately. Should we chat?
Yeah, let's chat.
I think the Sixers have been fun. Like, way more fun than I'm used to. I think, like, a lot of it has to, I think the biggest thing is that, and I think that, you know, Embiid and Maxey are playing well. I don't mean this to, like, take away from the meaningful good play we've seen at all, because I don't want to downplay that. They've looked good, absolutely. But when we talk about why, like, maybe they won't win, but they're more fun, to me, it comes down to just the movement on offense. Like, getting Harden and Ben before him both walk the ball up the court, cross half court with 16 or 17 seconds on the shot clock, hold the ball for another few seconds, and then we got into our offense last minute. And with that, there's less passing, there's less off-ball movement because everyone's just waiting for the ball to just make it into the front court. And Maxey gets the ball across, passes it, makes a cut. We get into the offense. The offense is no longer just, you know, go to Joel and hope for the best. He's still getting plenty of looks, but there's more to it. And, you know, I think that Doc Rivers actually, like, in terms of, you know, plays out of timeouts and things like that, actually was like really good. But the regular offense was just give it to Joel and hope for the best, which like worked out well enough in the regular season because he's so good, but just wasn't like a fun product unless he was absolutely dominant. You know, there are games he would go for, you know, 59 points, and you know, that's awesome and that's a lot of fun, but the games he's even just good, it's a painful style of play, and we don't have that anymore.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
All right, yeah,
well, it feels like they're just playing such a different kind of basketball so far this year, and they're coached in a very specific way. And part of me, after last year, the Embiid year, was wondering, like, how amenable will Joel be to doing that? Like, to even playing it a different way than catching it at the foul line, you know, because it was so fruitful for him. But it certainly seems like he's bought in. His defense and rebounding look night and day from last year.
His rebounding is so good right now.
Yeah, but honestly, even his defense, like, he's never the last few years been in the defensive player of the year conversation, and I haven't thought that's wrong. I thought it's right, because I think I thought that he was coasting so much through a lot of games where he would turn it on for a big block at the end of the game or something like that to win it, but throughout the course of a game you could really see him conserving his energy, and so far it doesn't look like that. Obviously all of this is small sample size. We see there Matisse Thybulle getting up a three that gets blocked by Tobias Harris and it's 11 minutes for Portland. So it's just been really exciting to see. The role players are playing well. Kelly Oubre, who I'm attracted to, is having a really nice start to the season. Seems to be playing in the team concept. And do you think he has a chance? Now, Nick Nurse said that he would be the starter immediately before the new guys are playing. Do you think that he has a chance to be that fifth starter, or who do you think it'll be?
For Oubre, I mean, I think he does, but he wouldn't be my choice just because I like him as kind of the bench chucker and the bench, like, you know, I think even if his shots aren't going down, he provides something else, which is that athleticism, that you know, desire to get downhill towards the basket. And you know, I think that has been really big to have off the bench. And, you know, off the bench, it's, you know, kind of, you know, more acceptable to, you know, deal with his lower efficiency, because you're not going to get as efficient scoring off the bench. Like, you don't necessarily want him taking, you know, shots away from an otherwise all-starter lineup, but you're perfectly fine with him getting his shots up and being more aggressive when he's with, you know, I know they're not running all bench lineups, but, you know, the lineups where it's like Maxi Harris bench, like, yeah, have Oubre go at it then, versus when it's, you know, Embiid and Maxi together on the court when you don't really want Oubre taking as many shots.
I agree. I'd like to keep him in his current role. Like, he adds a lot to that. And then if games like Milwaukee happen, he's going to get a lot of minutes, you know, where he's just super hot and then he's in a closing lineup, you know.
This court is hideous.
I don't get it. I don't really understand. There's too much red.
Yeah, it's like hard to look at.
Too much red. It's like a Tarantino movie. I don't like it.
It's very.
Should we talk about who you think your preferred target of the possible guys are with this draft ammo?
Yeah, real quick, let's talk about Halloween while I'm on this page, but then yes.
Yeah, all right, great.
So yeah,
when I saw this, I thought it was AI. Like, I thought this was like a joke they were making. But
yeah,
it turns out Embiid actually hosted a Halloween party. Exactly. Yeah. I was like, there's no fucking way. He's not going anywhere.
I mean, they look great. Furkan's not dressed up, but they look great.
Furkan was dressed for the plane. Yeah, Furkan was like, get me the fuck out of here.
Speaking of the plane, we haven't talked yet about Hardy not being let on the plane. I just want to throw out there that I think that's hilarious.
Absolutely tremendous. I love the guy who had to tell him. And he's like, hey, you're not allowed on the plane.
That's awesome.
fun. This is very fun. They have a Sixers step and repeat. Nick Nurse was there, I think, with his wife. Or Halloween might have been for mistresses. I'm not sure. I don't remember. And everybody's dressed up. Can you pull this picture up and try to pick out who everybody is?
Oh, I'm not going to be able to do it. I mean, we have Embiid. Can you see my mouse?
I can.
Yeah, we have Embiid, Furkan, Tobias, right? This is Nurse. Obviously Maxie and Melton. I don't know who this is.
Who is that?
I don't know. I can't tell by the hair.
Yeah, I don't.
Everything's throwing me a little off because I can't see their hair. Is this it might be House. I feel like this.
That's House.
That's what I thought. I don't. Who is this?
That's Pat Bev.
Is it really? He looks tall. I guess he's just closer to the camera.
No, because he's Nurse's height in this, so I feel like they're both probably about 6'1".
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who's in the front, but I liked it. I also. Like, some people might not like this, but I actually really enjoy that they're, like, not coordinated at all. And, like, they're not some, like, team Halloween costume. They're just a bunch of individuals dressed as random stuff. I like that a lot.
I agree. I think it's great that they let their personality shine. And I just think they're saying that Embiid held this party, which is about as shocking of a thing I've ever heard.
I was very surprised when I heard that as well. Like,
yeah,
that seems so unlike him.
But it's great though.
I love it. You know, he needs to be more, I think, present in that way. It almost 100%. Feels like he's been making more of an effort to do so. You know, less trolling of the fans on the internet and making more comments of appreciation. And I think even if he doesn't mean them, he's seen. The good response the Phillies have gotten from it, and I think that he sees that as an easier path forward for him, which it absolutely is, and he always should have seen it that way.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I also think that something about the Harden thing and more being on his shoulders or the new coach or whatever, like, I feel like he might understand that now and understand, like, his importance a little more and, like, take it a little more seriously, which can manifest in fun stuff like this, like, you know, endearing yourself to your teammates, and, you know, it's great. It's all good stuff. I'm going to give you some guys, and I'm going to ask you to rank them.
Perfect. I'll just have Zach LaVine highlights running in the background while you do this.
Perfect.
Because I'm assuming he'll be one of the guys. Here we go. This is
you have to wait and find out. 51 points, no assists. Love it. Don't pass. Here are the guys you have to rank as your preferences for the Sixers. Zach LaVine, OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, DeMar DeRozan. Rank them, consider the prices, and tell me your thoughts.
So am I ranking them with, you know, what I think the package will be in mind, or just how much I want them, and then thinking about what the price
is. How much you want them. Oh, by the way, it says we got 10 minutes left here.
All right. Well, we'll get on that.
All right. Rank them in order of how much you want them.
All right. I'll say how much I want them. I think player-wise, I really like Pascal Siakam. I think it'd be fun to have the two Cameroonian guys in the league, but that's assuming that you're then trading Tobias for something, which I don't know if that would be the case. I don't want him, if you can't turn Tobias, you know, into a wing or a guard who, not necessarily an all-star level player, but someone who can maybe start on the team. I don't want
Buddy Hill.
I don't want to try the whole, you know, gigantic Sixers lineup we tried with the Horford years again. With that said, the others, I would say LaVine, then Anunoby, and then DeRozan. I think that I wouldn't be shocked if LaVine's value went down, just because I think, you know, as they continue to lose, which I think they will, they'll be particularly interested in, you know, maybe the opportunity to get off of, you know, that many years of that contract. We can offer, you know, Tobias, who's making enough and could expire, and then we have some picks to put on top of that. But I think as the year goes on, that might sound more and more appealing to them, and you might be looking at fewer picks. That would be my hope. I think Anunoby is probably gettable, and he matches into Marcus Morris's salary nicely. But I do think it's so hard to predict what Masai is going to do because he seems to do random things. I wouldn't be upset to have Anunoby, yeah. But I think Levine's offense would be really exciting with this team. And I think he would be passable on defense in a way that, like, I think that, you know, while Anunoby is a really good all-around player, has maybe become a little bit overrated, and I'll still take the ability to score 51 points on good efficiency like Levine can do. And then DeRozan at the bottom, yeah. He's a good player. I would take him, but I think that he's just not as good as the others to me right now, and he's older. So, I mean, what do you think?
Yeah. Levine and Anunoby are very close for me. I would give Levine a bit of an edge. I'm wondering about with him, is there some Devin Booker potential there in terms of a big leap in what people perceive to be winning habits? Now, the big difference is that the teams that Devin Booker had been on before Chris Paul was there were so much worse than Levine teams with the Bulls, which have never been good.
And Booker can pass.
Booker can pass a little bit. But I think at the time, before Chris Paul, he was seen as like a jack. Like, he was seen as somebody who just got his point. I just think Levine as a three-level scorer is really great. And even if I'm not hopeful for the defense, the bet would be that the Sixers' remaining role players and Embiid would be able to insulate him enough from being a negative, and that the offense, he's such a great off-ball shooter. It would work, I think, excellently with his athleticism next to Maxey. I would just love that trio. Anunoby, I see upside there too, and just being like an excellent defensive player, and he just slots in that three spot like so perfectly. Siakam, I worry a little bit about the offense with him and Embiid. Like, I just wonder about spacing a little bit. He's definitely like objectively the best player of these three because he's been an All-NBA guy. He seems to always be in the All-NBA discussion, even when he's not on it. So, and it's the Cameron thing is cool. And yeah, so I would have to dive in a little more on him and obviously be very excited if we got him. But the Masai thing is weird. He seems destined to trade no one and also not sign anyone. So I don't really get the point there.
Yeah. Let's do, since we only have a little bit of time, let's speed run our like fun things that we send to each other. And we'll just speed run them real quick. I think we already talked about the marriage. I tweeted this out, like, obviously as a joke when the Sixers were down to the Bucks early in game one. And someone was like, I'm going to have to unfollow you. And I was like, that's fine. Good choice. And he actually unfollowed me. Yeah. I thought it was really funny.
That is very fun.
We need to talk about this real quick. John Hollinger says that Josh Giddey is a slob wizard. So take that for what you will. Steve, any
great. Input? And Giddey responded, which is fun. And I love it. Great innuendo. A couple. Aiden Laporta.
We have to talk about Aiden Laporta, who may or may not be real. Nick Adjustments Nurse is...
Everyone calls him that.
Everybody calls him that. We should start calling him that.
Most times people don't even call him Nick. They call him Adjustments.
Yeah, it's like how Doc is not Glenn.
Exactly. Okay.
What, you want to? I think Harden was traded the next day here.
Correct. This was October 30th. And his bullet points are Nick Nurse winning Coach of the Year, Embiid winning MVP, DPOY, back-to-back scoring titles, Maxey All-Star, Kelly Oubre Sixth Man, Harden coming back Tobias is falling. Tucker is still a dog. Like, D-A-W-G. What?
And then this random guy dancing, of course.
Right.
Odd stuff there. This is great. The Bucks just announced an all-time convoluted promotion. If the Bucks score 95 points before the end of the third quarter, you can go to Quick Trip and use your Quick Trip rewards to buy an 18, 24, or 30 pack of Michelob Ultra, and you will receive 30 cents off each gallon of gas.
Oh my God. What the fuck?
Confusing. I'm not even sure it's a deal I can follow.
I can't even get through those terms and conditions. It's like the fine print. I don't understand what the promotion is.
Oh, this is just sad. 4-pound pork maws requested to be part of the Harden deal, and both teams thought that was a bad idea, so he will never be traded.
Listen, I don't know who Sean Wright is, but you can. This is a dickish way to phrase that.
We have
both teams were like, I don't want to do it.
Yes. This is funny. Harden and Westbrook back together at the lowest time in their careers, like two people who made a pact to get married if they were still single at 40.
Hilarious tweet by and I think, Zito.
Oh, yes. And then I think we should wrap it up with the only person who was sad about the trade, which is we really traded the Jokic and Giannis stopper, PJ. I'm not sure when PJ has done this, but kudos to him for
every
this
time
legend.
PJ plays Giannis. Giannis is stopped in his tracks. He cannot do anything. It's like we have to get him on the show. I need him on.
You can't get him on the show. He isn't a real person.
No, it he's would actually. Be such a face
honestly,
reveal.
I feel bad because he's probably a child.
It's like when Sixers Adam finally revealed his face and the internet was ablaze. I need to see this kid's face. No, do you think, what if it's somebody we know? What if it's somebody walking among us? We've less than a minute.
Yeah, I'm just not sure it's a real person. I would love to find out. I think we need some investigation.
What if it's Drew Corrigan? Remember Drew Corrigan? What if this is him?
He's probably still around. All right. Good to see you, buddy.
All right. Love you, pal.
Love you. Bye.